If you've got your Bibles, can you turn please to John chapter 21? And I want to look at this. We were in John chapter 20 last week. We're going to be in John 21 this week. Just to say something about raising our expectations of what God wants to do through our lives. Can you put your hand up if you ever feel that you are more just surviving than thriving? Do you ever feel like that? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, look, I think we need to do it the other way. Put your hands up if you feel that you're thriving. If you don't ever feel like, I think most of us sometimes feel, okay, we've just got to get through life. And I think when Jesus was resurrected, he wanted to know that it wasn't just about there is life after death. He wasn't just saying, okay, I've come, I've been resurrected so that you can live after you die. And therefore, in this life here, just grin and bear it, okay? Just get through whatever you can. Just get through this life till you get this blessed release and you can go and be with heaven. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying at all. Amen. He was saying, I've come that you might have life in all its fullness. I've come that you might bring my kingdom here on earth right now. So we're going to read John chapter 21. And I think these verses are really about us changing how we think about our lives. That God wants us to be abundantly fruitful now in this life. And I think that's what Jesus is saying from this account. So John chapter 21, I think it's a story of shifting our mindset from just surviving to thriving. John 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were all together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And the others said, well, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, Oi, kids, have you caught any fish? Now, I just a brief stop there. Sometimes I don't want to impose my personality on Jesus, okay? But I just think there was a little bit of banter going on there. I think he was just saying, Oi, kids, you're useless. You haven't caught a thing. That's what I would say anyway. So I don't know why he said children. Or you could have said, oh, children, my children, have you caught nothing? I don't think he said that. I think he was taking the mickey. But anyway, children, have you caught, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. He said to them, well, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. And when they got to the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have some breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? For they just knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. You know, a friend of mine who's involved in a church recently went through this time where they just said, what's the point? They were giving themselves, you know, so much, and they were trying to do so many things, and they just said, oh, what is the point? I might as well just give up. And then what happened is that they began to focus on the kingdom of God rather than trying to build a church. And as they focused on building up, they began to see sort of like breakthroughs. And they began to see people around them wanting to know more about Jesus. And they thought, oh, this was amazing. And there was one particular moment where they had this really amazing time with people really, really hungry to know God. And you know what? The next morning, they woke up with all this evidence of what God was beginning to do. And do you know what they said? What's the point? I might as well give up. Now, the reason I say that is that, do you know, sometimes our emotions take a little bit of time to catch up with the reality of what God is doing. And sometimes we get stuck in a way of thinking that, oh, it's like this, it's always just going to be, whatever I do, it's always going to be like this. And yet you can see these beginnings of fruit happening, these things that are changing, and you think, no, God wants to say to us, no, I want you to start to think in a slightly different way. There is a battle for the mind. And I think this account, this was the third time that that Jesus appeared to the disciples. I think this was about the battle for the minds of the disciples. What is going to do? What is God going to do in your midst? The resurrection, Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning, as we know. It proved that Jesus is who he said he was. But the resurrection is so much more than that. The resurrection proved that there is life after death. But it is so much more than that. It proved that God is a miracle-working God, but it is so much more than that. The resurrection happened, and it was God saying, now, my kingdom is breaking in. I want you to begin to think differently. I want you to see my kingdom breaking into your communities, into your streets, and into your homes. This is the beginning of God's kingdom breaking in. Expect persecution, expect difficulties, expect trials, but also expect to be fruitful. Expect to be fruitful. I want you to have a different mindset. Expect things to happen in your midst, because I am the resurrected God. So we have these seven disciples all together. And what I want to do is I just want to draw our attention to a few things in this passage and then say, this is how we can change the way that we think. All these seven disciples that we listed together, sitting in a room, what do you think the mood of the room was? This is a genuine question. Any answers? All these disciples, they'd seen Jesus die, then they'd seen him come back on Easter Sunday morning, then there'd been another occasion when Jesus had appeared to them, when Thomas found out that all these, you know, his wounds were in there, and this was the third. What do you think the mood of the disciples was? Okay, a little bit freaked out, yeah? Confused. Yeah. Perplexed.
What next?
Okay, we don't know, but those are pretty much exactly the words that I've got written down here. What I've got written down is a bit lost, unsure, what on earth's happening, I don't know what to do, confused, Jesus is alive. Was I dreaming that, or was it just the cheese I ate last night? And you know, something we get in these places, don't we? And we think, I don't know what to do now. I'm not really sure. And then Simon Peter says, right, I'm going fishing.
Typical man.
No, Manuela. It's not I'm going fishing to get away from my missus and sit by a river making. It wasn't that type of fishing, okay? It was hard labour, pulling in, earning a living, trying to do all that. But he said, I don't know, I'm just going to go fishing. And then all the other disciples said, yeah, we're coming as well. I think they were just bored. They didn't know what to do. They were just sick. They were lost. They didn't know what was the right thing to do. And you know, sometimes, this is not my most profound theological point that I'm ever going to make, but one comment on this is here, that they just said, let's do something and let's do it together. And you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing to say. You don't know what to do. Well, we're just going to sit around and mope and do, I don't know. Or let's just go and do something, do it together. They could have just gone off and done their own little thing, but let's do something. And they did that. And then somehow God was able to break into it. And you know, I think there are times when we're in these places when we think, I don't really, well, let's just go and do something and do it together. I think sometimes, you know, we're doing taking a team out to Sweden. Now I think, I don't really know how that's going to work, but we just said, look, anybody want to come to Sweden? We're going to go and take a team out there and they're going to do some practical work and help a church. I don't know what's really going to come of it, but just sometimes it's not a bad thing to say, let's go and do something and let's do it together. You know, I think sometimes for some of us, you might need to take a risk with some of your friends. Just some of the people that you know and you love. Why don't you just go and say to them, why don't we just go out? Why don't we go and have a meal together? Maybe some of your friends that never come to church, maybe some of your neighbors. Should we just go out for a meal? Or go out for a coffee together? Sometimes we just have to take that little bit of a risk. These disciples, they fished all the night. Does anyone know why they fish all through the night?
The fish bite at night.
Well, they do, yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah, it's because they bite at night. And also...
it was a net, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because they bite.
Yes. No, 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 it's fine, don't worry. They don't, yeah, it was a net. They caught them in a net, yes. Yeah, the fish are at the surface. But also it's so that they can have fresh fish to sell in the morning. That's apparently what they do. So they fish through the night so they can go and sell them because fish get smelly very, very quickly. Then they're fishing throughout the night. They've caught nothing. Then they hear this voice of somebody. I don't know. Let's say, oi, you're not caught anything yet. And then they said, and throw your nets on the other side. Now, does anyone know how wide the Galilean fishing boats were? Does anyone know? About 12 foot, probably, I don't know, from here to the speaker. Why? Why? Okay, we'll haul them this side. Throw them out that side. There's nothing over there, 12 foot away, more than they could possibly imagine. I think sometimes the setting can be exactly the same, but suddenly become fruitful. And sometimes in your situations, you're thinking, why is nothing happening? And then suddenly God says something, and you haven't moved, and you think, oh, if I could only move job, if I could only move like house, if I didn't have those horrible colleagues, if I could change all of that, then God would make me fruitful. Or if God would sort of like open this, or God would suddenly... No, sometimes God has exactly the same place, but he suddenly makes it very fruitful. And I think it's something about God's timing in our situations. And I think God has situations for you, wherever you are. I think God wants to, not necessarily to move you, but in the same place to make you fruitful. I think sometimes it's God's timing, and sometimes you think, I'm really praying for this, and it doesn't work out exactly as you think it would. I remember praying for years and years for one particular friend, and then that friend never really wanted to know anything about Jesus, but another friend suddenly became really interested. But I wasn't praying for that one. I said, well, God, you do it in your way. It's yours, okay? All I'm doing is I'm going to pray for my friends, and I'll allow you to do it in your own time. 153 fish. Anyone know the significance of that? Please, I'm not actually going to ask. This is a quote from my study Bible. Various attempts have been made to interpret the number 153 symbolically, but more likely it simply represents the number of fish that were caught. I'm not joking. That's what it says in my Bible, okay? So you think, oh, I'd really love to know. But anyway, it wasn't. It's because they caught the fish and then they counted them because they wanted to sell them. But whatever the number it was, there was a lot of them. And suddenly they became really very, very fruitful. The other thing I just want to point out from this is that when they realize it was Jesus, Peter, he couldn't help himself. He thought, I don't care, I'm supposed to be fishing, wait, and just dived in and started swimming ashore. And he thought, he just wanted to be close to Jesus. Now, I suspect that if they'd caught all this bunch of fish, they could have made quite a bit of money from it. You know, it was a big deal. They could feed their families and all that sort of stuff. It was a big deal. And it wasn't like Jesus said, like Peter was in the boat saying, yeah, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, but look at these fish, it's amazing. Now, what Peter said is, oh, look at all these. No, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And you know, sometimes God makes us fruitful, but actually, he doesn't really want us to focus on the fruit. He wants us to come back and focus on him, because he's the source of our fruitfulness. And I think, you know, just like this morning and last week, and again, there's been moments, I think, in worship when we've just been like abandoned to God, and we just want to be in his presence. And you know, we are doing so many things in the community at the moment. So many things. And we're getting so much traction with different projects. And we have so many non-Christian people coming in here saying, what you're doing is amazing. And it's just extraordinary. And recently somebody has asked me to go like to a conference to say, how can a small church have a big impact in the community? I'm not actually going to do it. I'm going to get all the people that are doing the stuff to come and do it. But that people are asking. And do you know, sometimes there's a temptation to say, oh, this is great. This is really good. And that become, no, that does not define us. I promise you, it does not define us. What defines us is coming here and being abandoned in worship. And the more we abandon ourselves in worship, the more will happen all around us. There was a desperate eagerness for Peter to come into the presence of God. The other, just a few points was then, other points that when they all came ashore, Jesus fed them. After they'd had a hard night's work, Jesus supplied what they need. I suspect they were quite hungry. The smell of warm bread on an open fire on a beach. That's not bad, is it? Fresh fish. That's good. Jesus came and supplied you. He fed them. And then it said this. They didn't want to say it, but they knew it was Jesus. They knew it was Jesus that was standing there. And I'm just thinking that the more time we spend in the presence of Jesus, whether it's corporately in worship like this. And I just, you know, all the different, you just need to know when all the people came up, when Jerry said it wasn't planned, when they all came up, that's a costly thing for those people, you know, to do. When Pete comes up and shares, when Andy comes up and shares, when Dorla, well, everybody who came up, it's a costly thing. You know, but actually we want to do it. They do it not because they think, oh, look at me. It's because they think, oh, I'll do anything that will bring us closer to the heart of God. And when these guys come and worship and practice and train, you think, it's anything to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. And the more time we spend in the presence of Jesus, whether it's worship, whether it's sitting at, you know, at home, reading our Bible with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and just being in the presence of Jesus, the more we'll know when Jesus speaks. Yeah. The more we'll know. They knew his voice. And the more time we spend with him, but the more we just know, okay, I think God is saying this to me. So what was the point of this miraculous catch of 153 fish? Was it to show that Jesus was a better fisherman? Was it just to show off his miraculous powers? No. I think what he was saying is, from now on, I want you to be supernaturally fruitful. I want you to be supernatural, that my resurrection has happened. The kingdom of God is breaking. I want you to do abundantly more than you thought would ever have been possible. In your workplace, in your home, in your family, wherever you are, God has got plans for you and for me. Amen. So the big question is, I don't know why, I just found a picture on the tube because that's where you... I don't know, it sort of like represents for some everyday life. You may not go into town every day, but you just sit on a tube and you go up and then you go down and then you go up again and you go down. And I just, how can we live resurrection lives in the everyday aspect of our lives? How can we change the way we think? It won't always be like this, but God has made you to be fruitful. Well, the first thing I think is this. We have to base our lives on the evidence and the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to know that. You know, somebody told me, like many years ago, that if we wanted to build a church of many different nations, we have to understand one thing. The significance of this. If we want to build a church with lots of different cultures and nationalities, we have to understand this. This is my passport. It's very good. It means that I was born in the UK. It's opened all sorts of doors. I can go to all sorts of different places. I can travel around freely. I can do all sorts of different things. I can open doors. If I get in trouble, I've got the UK government behind me here. We'll sort of like the UK government will get my back. But for many, many people, I treat this lightly. Do you know what? I just chuck it around. And I think, yeah, it's fine. Anyone know where my passport is? I don't know. I've lost my passport. But you know, for many, many people, this thing is absolutely massive. Extraordinary. This thing is not to be treated lightly. Lives can be turned upside down because of the lack of this. Money can dry up completely because of the lack of this. Families can be torn apart because of the lack of this. And I think I realise that I never want to take my passport lightly. And we want to support people who are going through all the heartache of trying to understand what it means to either get residency or indefinitely to remain, all of those sorts of things. It's really, really important. My life is different. But I think we also have another passport as well. We have another passport. But this passport here says something different. It says the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a different passport. Because this opens all sorts of doors as well. This all opens also, this is a new life that is available to us. This is a new level of fruitfulness with the passport that comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the same way that we don't want to take this one lightly and we want to support, actually it's really important that we have this passport as well. This passport that opens all sorts of things, fruitfulness for us. And we have to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a real, living, historical moment. I don't know what day of the week it happened on, but it, because we, anyway, Easter Sunday is a different issue, but it happened on a day. It was a real day when Jesus was in the tomb and then he came alive again. Many people have tried to disprove it and they've actually found themselves wanting there. It's very difficult to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lots of people will say that Christianity is rubbish, it doesn't apply to me. But I don't know if you've realised, but very few people try to say that Jesus Christ didn't live and that he didn't rise from the dead. The reason is that many people have tried to disprove it and found themselves wanting. Many people have tried to disprove it and actually come to a place of faith. The first thing on living a resurrection life is we need to base our lives every day on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And when he rose from the dead, he brought in new life. The kingdom of God is breaking in. And it's breaking in through me, and it's breaking in through you. The second thing to live a resurrection life is this. Jesus is coming near to you, but you will need eyes of faith to see him. These disciples, we were on a really still, in Lake Como once on holiday, and it was absolutely, I never realised how much sound carries on still water. I think I mentioned this before, but we could be standing sort of like 100, 200 metres away from somebody in the middle of the lake, and you could just be talking like this and they would hear you. But there was this extraordinary moment when these disciples, they were fishing about 100 yards off, and Jesus started talking. Jesus came to them and he called out to them, and they didn't recognise him. But the point is this, that Jesus came to them. And if we want to live resurrection lives, you just need to know wherever you are, Jesus will come to you. And he will call out to you. And he will say, listen, I want to speak to you. I've got these things for you to do. But we have to be like the disciples. And we have to see him. And we have to have faith. Think, oh, it's Jesus. And the more time we're in the presence of Jesus, the more we think, I think that is God speaking to me. I think that is God calling out to me. We need to have eyes of faith to see him and ears of faith to hear him. What do you think God is speaking to you about? Can I just say one thing about that I think God spoke to me about? A long time ago, he spoke to me about getting involved in prisons. We are going to Pentonville. It's not quite so much. And then I went through the process of going through security clearance and to go in there a little bit more regularly. I felt God spoke to me about it. And then for whatever reason, the government portal where I had to go through to get security clearance, it crashed, and then I couldn't go through it. And then I was timed out. My application sort of like expired. And I've just let it slip. And I just think, no, Duncan, God said something about it. Go back and do it again. But I just think, what is God speaking to you about? What are the areas where God is saying, I want you to go? And the more time you spend in the presence of Jesus, and you might think, I don't know, is that Jesus speaking to me or not? Well, the more time you worship, the greater clarity you can think, no, God is saying this to me. And I want us to think, as a church, the reason I think that we can have impact in communities is because even if we're a smaller church, we're just thinking, we're a smaller church filled with people who are saying, what is God saying to me and what am I going to do about it? What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? And then the third thing is this, and lastly, it says this, Jesus will direct you and he will sustain you.
Amen.
He will direct you. He said to the disciples, look, I know you're fishing that side, chuck the next over the other side, 12 foot away, but it's going to make you very fruitful. You might stay in the same place, but Jesus is going to direct you. And we just need to be the people that are willing to hear the sensitive whispers of God and say, Jesus, you are calling this to me. And then the best thing of all is he cooks a nice big breakfast. You're laboring away, you come back in, breakfast. When we hear what God is saying to us, he sustains us. He fills us with his spirit. He encourages us. He puts us with good people around us. I want to finish there. Because I want to pray for us that we would live resurrection lives. The power of the resurrection. All of those fish to say this. God wants you and me to be more fruitful than we thought we should be. Is that okay? Can we stand? Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, I know that earlier on in the worship, you were here powerfully. Lord, I know that when two or three people gather together, you're here in our midst. Lord, I know that, Lord, your word is powerful. Lord, the Bible speaks powerfully into our lives. And I believe, Lord, that just after your resurrection, you did this miracle to remind us that we are to be abundantly fruitful. Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and anoint us now that we would hear your voice and we would be so fruitful. So fruitful, oh God. Oh God. In a moment, I want you just to raise your hand if you think you know where God has called you to be fruitful. And I'm going to pray for the power of God to come and fill you, that you would be more fruitful, more abundantly fruitful for the kingdom, because you know the voice of God speaking and leading you. And in those areas you think, yeah, but I don't know how it's going to work out, I don't know anything, that's not the point. The point is that you think, I think God is saying to me, I'm going to move. I'm going to be obedient. And God will do the rest. All the disciples had to do was to pull the nets in one side and put them down the other. So if you are aware of an area where God has called you to be fruitful, could you just raise your hand? Jesus. Father, I want to thank you that, Lord, so many of us have this clear feeling, now I know where you're calling me to be fruitful. And I declare over you this morning, I declare over this church, abundant fruitfulness. I declare over you, perceptive ears to hear what God is saying, and obedient feet and obedient hands to go where God is calling you to go. I declare over you fruitfulness, abundant fruitfulness. So much fruit that you cannot haul it, you can't control it, you can't contain it. But it's because you have listened and heard the voice of God speaking and you've responded in faith. Come, Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. I don't want to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to make you feel embarrassed. But if you did not put your hand up, and you didn't put your hand up because you don't know where God has called you to be fruitful, I want to pray over you that you would have a worshiping heart, that you would delight in Jesus above all else. And I want to pray that as you do that, God would come and speak to you, tenderly whisper into your heart, tenderly give you ideas. As you worship, I pray for God-inspired ideas to pop into your mind, for God-inspired friends that you need to pray for people that you need to go and speak to and just say a word of encouragement. Holy Spirit, we pray. Come on us, Lord. Fill us afresh, I ask.